Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out onto the bush. And it's a really, really cool morning again. It's Mother's Day, and we just like to wish all of our mothers a wonderful day. And because it's Mother's Day, we're going to look at a story of two mothers. And these two mothers are completely different in most every way, except they became mothers. One was Hebrew, the other one was not. One was accepted, and the other one, in the end, was rejected. But both of them are blessed of God in an immense way. Any idea who these two mothers are? Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 16, and I hope you have your Bibles today, because we're going to pull the story from Genesis 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. It's scattered all the way through those, so you had to hunt and find the story. So now let's talk about a story of two mothers. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the blessings that they were and continue to be in our lives. Lord, keep your hand on them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go with me to Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. Abram's wife, Sarah, had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarah had said. A couple of things going on here. During that day, it was legal and socially acceptable. If a woman had not had any children, or she was going to be barren, that she would suggest another woman to go to the man to have a child by him. And if she did, and he chose to do that, and then he accepted the child, that child could be his legal heir. Also, when you hear the name Hagar, you begin to have some religious thoughts going into your mind, because we'll get to that in a minute. But folks, keep in mind that Christianity and Islam didn't come in for thousands of years. So right now, this is just the Hebrews. There's something else we need to understand. God had already promised to Abram that he was going to be the father of a great nation. But you see, Sarah gets on in years, and she begins to get a little bit anxious about being this mother of a great nation. So she decides to help God out. This kind of thing doesn't normally work out too well. Many times God tells us something, and he says, "You've got to wait." We all know that. And he did it that way then, and he does it that way now. Well, let's get on the story. Sarah had made a suggestion to Abraham, and he accepts, and he does it. Verses 4 through 5. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. And when she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress became contemptible to her. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and when she saw that she was pregnant, I became contemptible to her. May the Lord judge between you and me." In other words, Hagar despised Sarah, and the whole plan fell apart. But that's what happens when we try to get in front of God. Now, let's look closely to what's going on. Sarah has a plan. She makes a suggestion to Abram. Abram agrees with the plan, and it was successful. But Sarah gets upset with Abram because things didn't work out the way that she planned. Well, I guess that's just the way things go. But Abram had a suggestion as well. He said, listen, your slave is yours. You do with her whatever you want. And Sarah turned up the heat and was treated Hagar harshly. And that's not right either. But she did. Hagar runs away. You see, it was true that Hagar was wrong when she despised Sarah. But she had done only what she was told to do as a slave. And then she showed a bad attitude. The heat's turned up. She runs away. Well, I guess that settles the whole issue, right? Not hardly. Someone comes on the scene, verses 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? And she replied, I'm running away from my mistress Sarah. Well, I guess she would, and I guess we probably would too. Now, one thing, I believe that this angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself, and we'll see him several times in this text. Now, he instructs Hagar, verses 9 through 11. The angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her authority. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. Hagar messed up. She despised Sarah. She runs away, but the angel of the Lord goes after her. If you think back to last week, whenever we mess up our lives, Jesus will find a way to us. Well, it was the same way for Hagar. Hagar returns to Sarah. She submits to Sarah. I guess she had to swallow her pride and get over her attitude. And then Ishmael is born. So what about Sarah? We've looked at Hagar. Let's take a look at Sarah. Go with me to Genesis 17, verses 15 through 16. God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarah, for Sarah will be her name. I will bless her indeed. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So, aha! God is going to give Sarah a son, and she got in front of God's plan. And Abraham had a very normal response to what the angel had just told him. Verses 17 through 19, Abraham fell face down. Then he laughed and said to him, can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? So Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael were acceptable to you. But God said, no, your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You will name him Isaac. I will confirm my covenant with him as a permanent covenant for his future offspring. Listen, nothing is too hard for God. With him, the difficult is easy. With him, the impossible is possible. So what happened? Sometime later, three men show up, the mysterious men. One of them is the angel of the Lord. Abraham feeds them and then gives them something to drink. And then Genesis 18, verses 9 through 10, where is your wife Sarah? They ask him. Well, she's there in the tent, he answered. The Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will give you a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Now listen, what would you do if you heard what the angel just said in the situation you're in? You're right. Verse 11 through 15, Abram and Abraham and Sarah were getting old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed to herself and said, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I have delight?" Well, but the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I am old?' Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son." But Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, but because she was afraid. But he replied, or the angel replied, "No, you did laugh." All I can say is, oops. Well, you may be wondering just what happened. Well, go with me to Genesis 21, verses 1 through 4. The Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. God did the impossible. But again, we have a problem with a bad attitude showing up. Verses 8 and 9, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham. Seems like Ishmael saw the celebration and he started laughing at them. Seems like both Hagar and Ishmael have a problem with attitude. So Sarah responds to the laughing of Ishmael. Verse 10. So she said to Abram, "Drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac." Abraham doesn't like it, but he gives them some water and some food, and told them to leave. Hagar and Ishmael are thrown out because of their bad attitude. But what will God do? The water and the food runs out, and it looks like Ishmael is going to die in the bush. Hagar sits him down and walks away because she couldn't bear to watch him die. Hagar cries. Ishmael cries. God responds. Verse 17 through 19. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy, grasp him, grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened their eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy drink. And we know that God was with Ishmael. Hagar is broken. The boy is scared. And God responds to the cry and the brokenness of these two people. Now, there's something I want you to see. There's something that Hagar said way back in the first time that the angel of the Lord found her. She said this, and I think this pretty much wraps up the story, and this wraps up the point in this whole story. Go with me to Genesis 16, verse number 13. So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy," for she said, "In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me." Let me say it again. In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. God saw her. She was a broken woman. Because of a bad attitude, she ran away. But God saw her. and he came right to her. You see, God is a God who sees us with an eye that loves us. But he did see Sarah when she left. But he also saw Hagar both times that she messed up and was kicked out. Listen, moms and dads, remember, God is a God who sees us. He's a God who cares. He's a God who's concerned when it seems like no one else cares. He sees, he knows, he cares, and he has a plan for you. Don't forget that. So this is what I saw in this whole story of two mothers. Father, thank you that you are a God who sees us. You will make a way to the broken. If we've messed up our lives, you will make a way to us. Father, help us to keep that in mind. Help that us to encourage us through the dark times of our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.